morning to introduce this study on what is so great about salvation. Why is it so important that people get saved? Why is it important that people are truly, scripturally, born again? I think it's very important. Can they be a Muslim and enjoy the same benefits that we have? Can they be a Buddhist and enjoy the same benefits that we have? Can they be religious and enjoy the same benefits that we have? Or spiritual? No, there are distinctive benefits for being scripturally born again. And we're going to look at that this morning. Our text, or my text for this series is Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, the scripture says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." And I think there's a lot of slippage in churches today. "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and even and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward," referring to the Old Testament. You remember how God came down on Mount Sinai and confirmed unto them the Old Testament, and there was great and grievous penalties and punishment for breaking God's holy law and testament there. Verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Let's pray. Oh God, as we come before you this morning, Lord, my heart breaks, Father, for the many souls, Lord, who chose to sleep in this morning. God, I pray, and Lord, that you would help them to make a fresh and fervent commitment, God, to growing and walking with you. Father, I thank you for the dear souls that are here this morning, Lord, who chose to get up an hour earlier, really 2 hours earlier, based on their time change Sunday, to come and to hear your word preached. Lord, I pray that each and everyone would walk up from here this morning, Lord, with a fresh blessing from you. God, learning something this morning to help in their life. Father, we ask your blessing on this hour in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, what's so great about salvation? Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Titus. Take your Bible and turn back to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1, 1 and 2 Timothy, then the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Number one, what's so great about salvation? It was conceived and planned by our great God. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." Number one, what's so great about salvation? It's so great because it was conceived by our great God. You see, salvation is not something that man worked up. What is the difference between true biblical Christianity and man-made religion? True biblical Christianity, the greatness of salvation is that it is God reaching down from heaven, reaching with loving open arms to a sinful and wicked man. Religion is man looking up at God and saying, "God, I can be just as good as you." That is the difference between true biblical salvation and religion. Whether it's Catholicism, whether it's Presbyterianism, whether it's a religious person in Bethel Baptist Church who comes here, maybe they've been baptized, maybe they've been a church member, maybe they give offerings, maybe they serve the Lord. But if you have never, my friend, been born again, number one, true repentance towards God, seeing yourself as a lost sinner in the eyes of a holy God, and number two, turning with faith to the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross of Calvary, you are not saved. You are not on your way to heaven. What's so great about salvation? Number one, it was conceived and planned by our great God. Let's read again Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." My friend, the greatness of salvation lies in the fact that it was conceived and planned by God Almighty. So the sin in the Garden of Eden did not surprise God. The degradation of this world does not shock God. It truly disappoints him, breaks his everlasting loving heart, but it does not surprise him. Before God spoke in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, there was a great plan for salvation. God knew that we would sin. God knew that we would walk away. God knew that we would choose to live our lives in wantonness and sin and pleasure. But He, in and of His own self, before there ever was anything, planned to make a way for you and I. That's what's so great about salvation. That before God said in the beginning, God said, I'm going to make a way. God foresaw Calvary. God foresaw your and my need for salvation. And He said, I'm going to make a great salvation. Number one, it was planned and conceived by the great, by our great God. Number two, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. Is this mic feeding back? Put that down a little bit. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. The Bible says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Number two, what's so great about salvation? It's great because it was accomplished by our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's so great about salvation. Not only was it planned in the heart of God before the world began, it was accomplished by the great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, and it was an offering for sin once for all. You see, my friends, you coming to the altar, confessing your sins once to receive your remission of sins was all it took to seal your salvation. Do you know why? Because it was a gift from God reaching down to you. It was not the feeble hand of man reaching up to God. That's why your salvation is so great. Because it does not depend on you. It was not in any way affected by you. It was not in any way perfected by you or added by you. It was accomplished by our amazing and wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. To say that I can add my works to stay saved, to say that I can add prayer or faithfulness or longevity or my sacrifice or service is a mockery of the offering of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. My friends, when He said it is finished, He meant it is finished. The work of salvation is simply like a birthday gift to be gladly and freely and wonderfully received by you and I. That's what's so great about salvation. Now turn back to Titus. We're going to look at Titus chapter 2 now. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. First and Second Timothy, then Titus. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. The scripture says, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Number 3, what's so great about salvation? It was through the great sacrifice on Calvary. Point number 2 and point number 3 go together. Point number 2 was that it was accomplished by our great and wonderful loving Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 3, it was accomplished through the greatest sacrifice of all times, the cross of Calvary. My friends, you and I can't even begin to imagine that day, that horrible, awful day when the sinless Son of God was nailed, was beaten and spat upon and mocked and ridiculed. And all of that paled in comparison till as He hung on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says that He was made sin from the sin of Adam in the garden through the sins of you and I today to the last sin that will ever be committed by the last man on earth. He bore every sin in His body. He was the wrath of God, the holy indignation of an almighty and holy God who the scriptures say cannot look on sin, cannot turn from sin, cannot pardon sin, poured His wrath upon His only begotten Son of God to pay the price for your and my wicked and awful sin on the cross of Calvary, so that He can pardon our sin so that we can be justified by the great justifier, so that He can look upon us and our unrighteousness and see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. My friends, what's so great about salvation? It was accomplished through the greatest sacrifice of all times, the cross of Calvary. That's why people don't have to hold out to the end. That's why people don't have to be faithful to make it. That's why you don't have to be confirmed or catechized or baptized to get to heaven. You need to be born again. That's what's so great about salvation. Now, because we're saved, should we be faithful? Yes, we should. Out of a heart of love, out of a heart of gratitude. It's like if you were to be pulled from a watery grave, your ship would be shipwrecked and you'd be drowning at sea, and someone would come and save your life and lift you up and put your feet upon dry ground. Would you spit in their face? Would you mock their name? Would you curse them and revile them? No, you'd love them. You'd honor them. You'd cherish them. You'd encourage them. You'd be eternally grateful to them. You'd do everything you could to help them and bless them and to say thank you. And that's why we come to church. And that's why we're faithful. And that's why we pray. And that's why we give. And that's why we serve. Not to be saved, but because we are wonderfully and amazingly saved. Number four, what's so great about salvation? Turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5. First and second Acts, then Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, a very familiar verse, or verses of the Romans Road. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What's so great about salvation? It was the greatest demonstration of love that has ever been shown. That's what's so great about salvation. It was the greatest demonstration of love ever shown. The Bible says that you and I, what is it that if we love our friends? The Bible says the publicans and the sinners do the same. My friends, it is not something special when we love our friends, but when we love our enemies, those that hate us, that revile us, that persecute us. Do you know why it's so great? Because we are picturing, we are showing through to them the love that Jesus Christ had towards us. You see, Jesus Christ didn't die for a wonderful race of people. Jesus Christ didn't die for those who were His friends already. Jesus Christ didn't die for wonderfully righteous people who were so good and so mighty, they just needed that last little step of perfection. No, Jesus Christ died for murderers. And Jesus Christ died for whoremongers. And Jesus Christ died for liars. And Jesus Christ died for the lost race of Adam, which you and I are a part of. My friends, you don't need to be a murderer, or a liar, or a rapist, or a whoremonger or to go to hell. You simply need to be born. The Bible says we are born and shapen in iniquity. And apart from any sin that we would commit, we deserve to go to hell. What's so great about salvation? It was the greatest demonstration of love that the world has ever seen. You and I could never love our spouses like Jesus loves us. You that have children could never love your children like Jesus loves you. You and I that love someone in this world, our parents, our friends, our co-workers, could never love them with the same love that Jesus loved us. That's what's so great about salvation. It was the greatest demonstration of love this world has ever, ever, ever seen. For Jesus, the Bible says, who endured such great contradiction as sinners against Himself. There's a great message. God in the hands of angry sinners. It was a parody off a message called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. My friends, that day on Calvary, God was in the hands of angry sinners. And don't think that you and I wouldn't have done the same thing. It was our sins that nailed Jesus Christ to that cross. And when we were hell-bound sinners that were aliens from God and from the commonwealth of heaven, Jesus Christ loved you and I enough to give Himself for us. That's an amazing demonstration of love. That's what's so great about salvation. Number five, turn to Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. The Bible says, Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Number five, it is the greatest news to be ever heard by every man, woman, and boy and girl ever to be born on the earth. This was Jesus Christ here saying that God had anointed Him to preach the gospel. The gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is. And it is the good news that you and I don't have to live as mortal human beings. You and I don't have to die in our sins and face the holy wrath of God. The good news that you and I can have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imparted to our souls, that we can go to heaven. We can spend eternity with God. That we can be adopted into God's family. That's the good news. Number five, what's so great about salvation? It is the greatest news ever to be heard. My friends, whatever you share with your family, we better share the gospel, because it is the greatest news that they could ever hear. No matter what we share with our friends, we better share with them the gospel, because it is the greatest news that they will ever hear. What's so great about salvation? It is the greatest news that they will ever hear. Turn to John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. What's so great about salvation? In John 3:16, the Bible says, Jesus speaking here, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." My friends, if this world needed a teacher, God would have sent an educator. My friends, if this world would have needed a better governmental system, God would have sent a politician. My friends, if this world would have needed a better management system, God would have sent us a boss. This world needed a Savior. And so God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, to save us. That's what man needs. What's so great about salvation? Number six, it is the greatest need in every person's life. I was sharing this with my Sunday school class, with our Sunday school teachers. You know, it is not easier for me to share the gospel than it is for you. My friends, one thing that has made a difference in my life is I look at every man and woman that I meet and I say to myself, that man, that woman, that young person truly needs Jesus Christ. The answer to that person's problem is Jesus Christ. I don't know them. I don't know their need. I don't know their heartache. I don't know their sorrows. I don't know their joys. I don't know their struggles. But I know this. They need Jesus Christ. They don't need to be timid. They don't need to be me to even invite them into church. They need Jesus Christ. That's what they need. Every man needs Jesus Christ. Every woman needs Jesus Christ. Every boy and every girl on every continent, they need Jesus Christ. Because apart from Jesus Christ, they have no hope. Say that to yourself when you go out witnessing. Say that to yourself the next time the Lord prompts your heart to share Jesus Christ, or to pass out a gospel tract, or to invite somebody to work, invite somebody to church, or when you're coming out on VBS, or helping in Super Church, or serving the Lord. Say to yourself, the reason I'm here is because that person needs Jesus Christ. If we would grab a hold of that truth, it would change our lives. It would change the way we witness. It would change the way we live. It would change the fact that we have empty seats this morning here in Sunday school. The fact that what's so great about salvation, it is the need of their life. Number seven, Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. What's so great about salvation? It is every Christian's greatest responsibility. The Bible says in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Number 7, what's so great about salvation? It is the greatest responsibility of every Christian. Oh, you have a great responsibility to be a great Christian husband. Christian wife, you have a great responsibility, to be a great Christian wife. You have a responsibility to be a great parent, a great employee, a great boss, a great worker, a great neighbor. But the greatest responsibility that you and I have is to be a bearer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's so great about salvation. We support 111 missionaries. Do you know why? Because we take our responsibility of the Great Commission seriously. The sun never sets on the ministry, the worldwide ministry of Bethel Baptist Church. Not because we go out, but because we take that which God has given us and we put it in the offering plate and we sponsor and support independent, fundamental, sold-out Baptist missionaries to go out across this world upon every continent to preach and teach Jesus Christ. But my friends, that does not excuse our responsibility in our own life. My greatest responsibility as a man, as a husband, as a minister of Jesus Christ, is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it truly is the greatest need of every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. 7 reasons, 7 facts about what's so great about our salvation. Now we're going to take the next 2 months, the month of April and the month of May, and we're going to look out. So thus far, I've listed out 51 biblical facts, biblical results of getting saved. And it's a short list. We're not going to touch on all 51, but we're going to hit some highlights in these next 2 months. My friends, there's no greater opportunity that you have to invite people, say, hey, we're having a red hot Sunday school class about what's so great about it. In fact, I use those exact words as I talked to a young man a couple weeks ago. He was he emailed everybody on his contact list and said, hey, I'm changing my email. I had no idea who he was or how I got his email. I emailed him back and said, thanks for the update. By the way, who are you? And he emailed back and said, this is who I am. And I said, well, this is who I think you are. And then we kept going back. It took 7 emails for us to figure out how I knew him. Here he was a friend through Jordan Laurel that I got a contact off of. And I said, my last closing email to him was, you know what? I said, I'm so glad you got a new email. I'm glad we know Jordan. Jordan is our mutual friend. But I said, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, do you know for sure, 100%, if you were to die today that you would go to heaven? He emailed me back and said, wow. I said, he said, yes, he was saved, very active in his church. I said, well, I said, I thank God for that. I said, if you ever if you ever are looking for a church or have friends in this area, I said, I teach a red hot Sunday school class every Sunday morning at 9:30 in the auditorium. Come and be part of it. And he emailed me back and said, man, that sounds exciting. My friends, that is my goal. I want to give you something every week when you come. I want you to walk out of here and say, man, I'm so glad I came to Sunday school today. Let's use this opportunity. I will. I hope you will too. Help me. Let's build this Sunday school class. Let's build this church. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us such a great salvation. Please, oh God, bless our pastor in the hour to come. Bless the services, Lord. And God, thank you, Lord, for saving us. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards of that great salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you are dismissed.